I think when people have a lot of memories locked up in specific trees, a lot of associations with people they love. And so I think that's, or places they love that remind them of people they love. So I think, you know, our connection to place and our connection to those memories can be evoked by trees.
This is our Inheritance Wonder Podcast. This season, we will focus on stories about wonder and fascination in the natural world. We explore stories about plants and animals that hold special meaning to us. And through our observations and experiences, we develop a respect and sense of awe for the amazing wonders on this planet. I'm Jonah, and in this episode, I'll explore the amazing world of Tina crabapple trees. Tina crabapple trees are beautiful trees with magnificent white flowers that begin blooming in the early spring. These trees are small and ornamental and are loved by both humans and bees. Their fruits are also treasured by various species of birds, some found in Minnesota such as blue jays, cardinals, cedar waxwings, woodpeckers, and more. Crabapple trees come from the genus Malus, which is the same genus that some edible apples we know and love come from, such as the Macintosh. Crabapples differ from everyday edible apples because of their size. Though some have been grown and cultivated to eat, many are less than 2 inches in diameter. These trees with these small apples have some fascinating biological characteristics. In an interview with James Luby, a professor in the Department of Horticultural Science at the University of Minnesota, I was taught about grafting. Grafting is particularly important for the Tina crabapple tree. The Tina crabapple is grafted on a base apple root and is only a species of crabapple that can be found by grafting. It's interesting to think about a tree being artificially made in a combination of two different trees at that. For me, the Tina crabapple means more than just the tree itself. This beautiful tree has been planted in front of my house for as long as I can remember. I later learned that it was planted to commemorate my mom's 40th birthday, and it's the first thing I see when I pull in or out of my driveway every day. I'm able to watch it go from just little green leaves and the smallest red fruits in the earliest days of spring to full, blossoming white flowers in later spring and earlier summer. I decided to go deeper into why trees specifically are used in a way of commemoration and memorialization. Out of anything in the world, why trees? Looking deeper into this idea, I got in contact with Abby Anderson from Lakewood Cemetery. Abby is a community events coordinator and knows lots about how people use trees in commemoration, as well as presenting her own thoughts and opinions on the matter. Abby mentions that during a memorializing lantern event, it takes place on Joe Pond in Lakewood Cemetery, a pond surrounded by crabapple trees, which I found fascinating. I decided to ask Abby more about why specifically trees are used for commemoration or memorialization. Here's Abby Anderson, her response to that question.
Why do you think trees are used to commemorate or memorialize? What kind of traits do make them good for commemoration?
Oh, I'm happy to talk about that one.
Lovely.
So, I think for many, many reasons, and probably many more than I'm able to even think of in this moment, but some of the reasons that are meaningful to me are, I think when people have a lot of memories locked up in specific trees, a lot of associations with people they love, and so I think that's, or places they love that remind them of people they love. So I think, you know, our connection to place and our connection to those memories can be evoked by trees.
Right.
I would also add that trees really put us in touch with kind of the present moment and gratitude, because they are so clearly going through annual cycles, and that they're stated any time of year also kind of is a container for our memories. Like, oh yeah, I remember it was in spring that, and then we have all these memories associated with spring, and then we tie that to the flowering of trees, or, you know, in autumn or in winter. They look so different, and that kind of is kind of a framework or a way of indexing our memories.
Abby continues her point about a tree's annual cycles, describing that cycles are everlasting and comforting, saying,
and then the cycles also put us in touch with kind of how it's everlasting, right? The cycles are dependable. Right. We go through the annual cycle every year, and that can be very comforting.
Abby then adds one other point relating interconnectedness of trees and crab apples.
Specifically, we can talk about crab apples. So crab apples are, you don't get an apple if you don't have a pollinator, right? So when you look at a tree and it's full of small apples, crab apples, you can think of all those pollinators, bees and other insects that made, that were part of the process that bring you those apples.
Right.
And then also interconnected with that is like those apples are then food for migratory birds and all kinds of wildlife. And if you start making all these connections from the crab apple tree to everything around it, it can be very comforting and healing to think about those connections and in fact those interdependencies that we all have.
Absolutely.
Abby brings up many thoughtful and intellectual points about the usage of trees to commemorate, such as the dependability of the annual cycle, memories locked up in certain trees, the interconnectedness of trees, and other valuable points. I decided to go further into the specificity of trees and commemoration and asked Abby the following question. Here's the question along with her response.
What types of trees do you think are most common, and kind of what are those, do you have like any common traits of those trees?
Specifically for memorialization or more broadly for
memorialization, I'd say. I don't know if there is a more common type of tree, just out of curiosity if you knew, if there was like, everyone leads towards oak trees or maple trees or something like that.
That's a great question, and I actually don't know the answer, but I think it's kind of place dependent. And like, I know that the U.S. Forest Service, they do a tree memorialization, and you know, they are, their charge is to steward national forests. And so they're going to think about what's the right ecology for those forests, and the trees they plant are going to be shaped by what that ecosystem requires.
Right.
Thinking about what the ecosystem requires is a very important piece when thinking about planting trees and their locations. Lakewood Cemetery also believes it's important to look into biodiversity and factoring in things such as climate change into the equation of location of planting trees. With many factors to consider when planting trees for commemoration, there are many reasons why specifically trees are used for such a big thing, such as memorialization. And I'm blessed every day with the sight of a blossoming Tina crabapple tree in front of my house. I'd like to thank the Blake School Environmental Science Program and research support staff for helping source, cite, and fact check this podcast. Thank you to Abby Anderson and James Luby for taking the time to talk to me about crabapple trees. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review, and check out the other podcasts in our series. Thank you.